behalf of the chair, I'm going to call the Library Finance Subcommittee to order and just explain I'm speaking. I guess I'm a stand-in for Barbara Gorson's voice, who is forced today. So let's go on with the agenda. We'll note the roll. We'll ask Algo to note the roll. Go to agenda approval.
I move we approve the agenda.
And I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
So motion passes. We'll approve the minutes of March 28th.
I'll move that we approve those.
And I'll second. So all in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. Oral communications, noting that there's nobody in the audience. We'll move on beyond oral communications to staff reports, and I'll turn it over to Teresa.
Okay. We are at 75%, or this report represents 75% of the year, and sales tax is at about 81%, so it is tracking high, which is what we thought. It was doing a little better. Maintenance of effort is just about at 75, so revenues are doing pretty well. So any questions on revenues? Or any balance sheet, if there's anything, but there's nothing really new there. On expenditures, I've checked on both things that are high and low, and everything is pretty well accounted for. Some things like other equipment operation maintenance, where we have $3,000, that's in case one of our microphone machines. So, please note that David Taurasi, right? We're just going over the expenditures. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, if we don't need it, it's kind of a contingency. If we need to repair the machine, we need the money. If we don't, then we don't. So. Landscaping is low, and that's actually I talk about in the narrative for next year. The Danny, one of our maintenance workers, is pretty much, I think, almost daily is getting workers from the Department of Corrections to help him with landscaping. So pretty well. That's worked really well. It takes a lot of his time, but it kind of doubles his workforce, or sometimes more than one person.
Who normally handles landscaping? Do we have a contract with the city, or is it just...
No, it's our maintenance guys.
Just library maintenance workers.
Yeah. Now, some of the facilities, Capitola does its own maintenance. Scotts Valley is going to take care of its maintenance. So it depends on the facility. Maybe we'll close it down. I have to look at my budget and see who...
So it's on branch by branch basis.
Yeah, mostly we don't have landscape maintenance. Capitola does theirs. La Selva, the landlord does it. Scotts Valley, the landlord. Felton, the landlord. Otherwise, it's the library that's responsible. So that was one of the things that was cut a couple of years ago. And it shows in a lot of places. I mean,
but didn't my voice is gone to her. Can it Heidi say that in Epcot Lions Club was sponsoring to help?
They came out and did a work day.
It was just one time.
One day. They may come again, but yeah. So we're trying to be creative. But, an area of great fuzziness here is the software and hardware. A lot of it related to the new ILS, so we haven't spent a lot of that money. And I am going to ask to carry it over. I know we don't like to carry over, but there's going to be at least two carryovers this year. The library functional supplies is another one that when I did projections, I kind of did rough projections today towards the end for the next couple of months, and I took library functional supplies down a little bit, not whole lot, because we're hoping if we have our new logo in time that we can order library cards. otherwise we won't use it, so we may have some extra money there as well. Okay, what else? Any other questions on the expenditures? Those are kind of the highlights that I noticed.
Teresa, I had a question on the staffing overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're doing pretty well, where it's just like 70% in essence, and but which is a savings of about 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering what is contributing.
I think there's two things contributing. We've had some open positions that we've been basically frozen, mm-hmm. and we backfilled them with temps, which is less expensive. So I think we've been saving on both salaries and the benefits for those three positions that we've got open. The FICA, we're still trying to figure out. FICA may be over budgeted here, figure out where it comes out. So we may, that may be over budgeted a little bit. In fact, in my projection, I took it down some.
The FICA is a relatively small amount.
Yeah.
But you can see the temps.
But the temps is even down to 60%.
Staff has really worked hard not to use temps, they can help. The other part of it.
Right.
So even those three positions that are open, they're not three positions that are completely covered by temps. They're just filling in for their desk time. And anything that they would do off desk, they're basically not filling in for. So I think that's probably the biggest. Because if you look, regular full-time is only at 70, and regular part-time is at 72. Can you think of anything else, Jack, that would cause payroll to be low?
When we know unemployment is, it's not a big number, but we know unemployment has dropped this year. So there's a savings there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at a little bit.
So, that's good. And our pool cash, over $1 million.
Good. We've now gone through a year without.
Yes. Happy anniversary. Any other questions? Doing well. You've got the quarterly update for library sales tax revenue. That $36,555 that they're expecting is total receipts being higher. I calculated the library's portion of that at about $28,000. We only get 77% of it. So
we'll take it.
Yeah. And that is the other unknown for next year, too, is if there's a change from the census and the split between Watsonville and us. I guess ours is going to go down. And then Jack had a couple of other updates related to the county, so we thought we could throw those in here. Hopefully we're not violating anything.
I have three comments. One is that for the city, I'm used to getting, it's confidential, but I'm able to look at the sales from every business in town and look at categories and try and get trends. And we share it in broad ways, like what's happening to food sales or restaurant sales or auto dealers when we have and those kind of things. And haven't been able to get that for the library. And that's my comfort level, just being able to get my arms around the numbers and then share that what's important with other folks. So I've started a conversation with the county, and they tell me they don't use a consultant for the library. I believe they do for the county sales taxes. So I'm exploring that conversation just to see, okay, even if they don't use a consultant, there's just some other repository of information somewhere that perhaps someone like me could take a look at it. And I recognize that I'm not staffed to the Library Financing Authority. They are a separate entity, and yet I also know that our city and the others are represented by our representatives on the Finance Committee. So I just want to share with you that I'm having a conversation trying to get at, is there a way for me or someone else to look at that information, and to, which we would, my thought is to share it obviously with everyone here. Not details, but the essential information about trends and so forth. So I just wanted to share that with you, that I'm embarking on that conversation. And they're great staff. I know the county staff. They're good to work with, but I just haven't gotten down to the details of that conversation yet. The other two things, I've been asking about the audit report that the county, the financial authority gets, and I have not seen it yet. You'll recall that last year, those of you that weren't with me, last year on the, that in January, the library board, the JPA board, received a copy of the financing authority audit, separate from the JPA audit. And I work with the auditors from the JPA audit, for the financing authority audit. And it was delayed, just as were many of the audits, because the county and the financing authority had the same auditors that the city and the JPA, library JPA have. And so they told me that it's in its final stage now, but it may not be distributed until June, because the financing authority may not be till June. I'm going to, again, advocate for seeing that sooner. I don't think there's anything controversial. I think it's just consistent with everything else we've seen. But I would personally like to get a copy of that audit report, so I wanted to mention that to you. And then lastly, the county auditor has a meeting twice a year where Mary Jo Walker, where she sits with representatives from the cities and talks about property tax trends, enhances our property tax checks in a magnanimous way. This year I finally got...
In what order?
I've been working for 2 years. I finally got them to wire us our property tax checks. So I'm very happy that that happened. But she told us that the county assessor is still thinking that next year will be flat countywide for property tax receipts. There's like a 0.7% inflation factor, but given all the unknowns and variables, to expect something flat, maybe a tiny positive, if that's the latest information on property taxes. So don't expect anything dramatic next year. In general, delinquency rates have dropped. People are paying their property taxes on time, more of them are, which doesn't directly affect any of us because under the Teeter plan, the county gives us all 100% of property taxes, but they have the right to take us off if they wanted to someday. And they keep the penalties and interest in return in exchange for that, so they like the penalties and interest because they make money that way. We like the stability of getting our property taxes on time. And so, but that's certainly good economic news for the economy to know the delinquency rates have dropped. So, for instance, in the city of Santa Cruz, it dropped from something like over 4% to something over 3%. So that's a good trend. Yes. So those are my thoughts about property taxes and sales tax.
Thank you.
Jack,
going back, you're trying to determine trends. Predict what the fourth quarter and maybe next year is going to look like. But I'm looking at, the schedule that was attached to this letter, and it's projecting the fourth quarter. Our original budget projection was $1,057,000.
It's not in there. It got sent later.
So, yeah, it was a follow-up.
They didn't send us the full thing. I don't think I have. History of the sales tax measure?
Yeah, it's that schedule that was attached to the letter.
Yeah, I'm not sure this may be an older one, but... Here, yeah, this is it.
So the colleague was saying the sales taxes would be a little higher, but they're flat for next year, if I remember right.
Yeah,
right, but in the fourth quarter, our budget projection was $1,005,000, but I guess, what my question was, we can probably safely assume that it's probably going to be equivalent to what we just received. A million, it's been going about $1,007,000 a quarter.
Well, traditionally for budgeting purposes, we use the numbers the county gives us.
Yeah, I know, but
you're moving forward.
Hmm?
Are you saying moving forward with the anticipate?
But we should expect the fourth quarter is going to be almost $200,000 better the total.
We only got 28,000 in the third quarter. Right? Yeah, the third quarter was 36,000 better than the estimate. So our share is only 28,000. So I'm not sure where you're getting 200,000.
Well, this says our estimate for the fourth quarter is 1,000,005.
1,000,005?
Right, 1,000,570. And we've received in the third quarter. Now, is this 1,000,007, 1,000,009, 1,000,008?
Yeah.
And I assume that, so those are what the receipts are, but now.
Third quarter is higher because doesn't that include December? That includes the Christmas one.
It does. That's when that money actually comes in. Yeah, it's for the second quarter. It comes in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's. So I don't know that we could expect that much higher, because the fourth quarter will be January, February, March. And actually, I'm not sure the weather was bad. I'm not sure that was.
You can see the fourth quarter is down in three other years.
Yes. The city sales tax were similarly slightly less in the fourth quarter. I should say December sales than the year before as well, so this is consistent with that. But overall, we're up from where we were.
As long as it's not down.
Yeah.
My feeling these days.
No, it's good.
Okay,
no,
so,
yeah.
It feels good
to be on the positive side. Maybe, and to anticipate that it's maybe going to, the picture's going to get incrementally better.
Yeah,
as
I don't
time
think
goes
there's
on.
Anything to get
I did one more thing, Kelly, if I could add that, back to property taxes. I've been a little mystified how the county could, because we pay property taxes in December and April, but the county gives monthly payments to the library starting in July, and you know the property tax hasn't been collected in July yet. So I've asked, how do you do that? It turns out there's another fund at the county, a tax fund, before the finance authority gets the money. The property taxes go into a separate tax fund for the library over at the county. And they typically end the year with about $20,000, according to Mary Jo. Say in June, they close the books, they got $20,000 of library money. But they hold on to it because they, what they then do though is they start sending monthly checks over and go into a negative. So they're sending us money in August that they don't really have. They go negative and they recapture it later. So they basically smooth it out even though they don't really have the money. And occasionally there's a little bouncing effect from some of this. So occasionally we've seen dollars go up when we knew the trend was going down or vice versa. And that has to do with the fact that they say they're going to give us the money whether or not they have it yet. And they know what they're going to get because they know it's on the property tax roll. So there's literally, the money goes three different places. It goes into the tax property tax fund over there. Then they give it to the finance authority fund. Then the finance authority distributes it, and we get the money over the JPA. So literally, the property tax dollars go to three different places along the way.
If I'm not mistaken, last year we got a little bit of extra money at the end of the year because they said there was too much in that fund.
A little bit of extra reserves. That $20,000 apparently was a little bit more. So I don't know if that was clear, but it's just I found it interesting that there's three different places.
I was going to ask, you, since you were talking with Mary Jo Walker and this county, has there been any discussion? I understand that next year there's a lot of homeowners that have these adjustable rate mortgages that are going to be set here locally. I remember reading several years back, Santa Cruz County had one of the highest rates of these types of mortgages that were that reset periodically and were highly leveraged. And I was wondering if they had any sort of opinion on what that impact would be when they reset, where people are, and if it'll.
That didn't come up, and I know I hear all sides of that. I've heard some of that too, and I've heard people say that's not true. So
oh, okay.
I'm not sure, but that topic did not come up. I do know in general, City of Santa Cruz, for instance, does not have a lot of first-time home buyers. Does not have as much risk. And so in terms of all the problems with the housing markets, whereas if you go to South County, there's a lot more risk there, a lot more first-time home buyers, a lot of people more exposed. exposed to the risk of the marketplace, so they have had much many more issues and problems with the foreclosure. City of Santa Cruz has had a very low foreclosure rate, and my guess is that Capitola and Scotts Valley have as well. South County, fortunately, has been taking the brunt of that. So the county as a whole may have a higher rate, but I suspect it's regionalized as to where that's happening.
But it doesn't matter because our money is countywide. So
yes, it is.
Happening
yeah.
down in South County, it's going to impact the library fund.
They might follow up on that.
I'm just curious. The other was someone had sent a letter when we were having the discussions regarding the different plans that were being proposed on the board. And in Arizona, the county assessor sends out as part of the tax bill kind of an opportunity for people to volunteer or to donate to the libraries. And I don't know how that works. I gave it to Oprah with the city manager's office, the correspondence, but I just thought that was pretty nice, you know, where, you know, you said it's the correspondence that's already going out and they have a remit envelope that goes in to help support the libraries. It's tax deductible.
San Francisco, they have a program where I think it's on utility bills, but people in San Francisco can donate to the arts programs, and they, I don't think they get a lot of money for San Francisco, but they get, I think, $50,000 to $100,000 a year for people donating that way.
Corvallis had it on the utility bill. Library is one of the places you could donate. I know that Jack looked into it for the senior utility tax discount, but that was too labor intensive for PG&E or the city to do.
Yeah,
so. But creative ideas, people.
Yeah, so there you go. I don't know, Capitola has a.
No separate bills, but Capitola.
Any separate bills?
No.
And as you see, our utility bills are locally.
Green waste. Ways to do it. Next year's budget, 11-12 budget. So I've got a draft, and draft is the important piece here, although we need to have it done in a couple days in order to make it in the packet. Let's remember that budgets are planning documents. And given the new service model, it was a challenge putting this together. Basically, what I did on this budget overview sheet is I included what we had as the service model estimate because I think that particularly this group here is very familiar with a lot of the numbers based on the service model, so you might want to know why, you know, how close did we come. We didn't do too badly other than for personnel. What we did is we took, the city gives us an estimate this time of year what our personnel budget will be for next year. So we took that and we cut it in half for July to December. And from January to June, we took the service model and used those numbers. But we found that in the July to December period, it looks like the percent of, when the city does the personnel piece, they do it by person. So they know that I've got, you know, two people on my insurance, and that's how they actually build the budget, specifically based on the current employees and what their plan is. We couldn't do that in the service model because it's all up in the air. So we just did a straight, what do we expect the percentage of the salaries to be that's spent on benefits? And we had worked with a number of 43%, although Jack said it was 43% this year, expected it to be higher next year. So for the first half of the year, it's actual city numbers. For the second half of the year, it's the service model, but I applied 49% because that's what the city's estimates to us were, the percent of salary that's going to benefits. So that made a significant difference in the planning, but that's one of the reasons why we built in a cushion, was because we didn't know what was happening with health and retirement and all that. We are inching closer, but we still don't have real numbers for the classifications. I may have that for the June meeting. I might be able to incorporate some more exact dollars for the second half of the year for the projections. But the positions themselves aren't classified yet, so I don't know what we're going to be paying the different positions, other than what we've been using as estimates. The other area that really went up was facilities maintenance, the janitorial. The janitorial people came to us and said that they needed more time in 6 out of 11 of our locations, and that drove the cost up. And I can't give an exact dollar amount because I'm still working with this, and Kira is the one that worked on it, and I'm trying to backtrack how she did it, and I'm having trouble, and she's not back until tomorrow afternoon. She's gone over the weekend. So I do know, though, that on top of the janitorial going up because we needed more time in existing 6 out of the 11 locations, being open more hours and more days of the week is going to impact janitorial. So janitorial went up about $35,000, and that's still an estimate for next year, because until we know for sure, we haven't sat down with them. There's a new contract I think they're going to try to do in October. So, so if you look at expenditure subtotals, we actually are a little bit lower than what we estimated on the in the service model estimate. So overall, we did okay.
I have a question on IT.
Yeah.
You mentioned just before that we were going to need to carry over some funds for the new system. How does that get reflected?
It's not in here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't reflect the $80,000 for the new system or the carrying the money for the $25,000 for the LSTA grant. I can show them if you want. I talk about them in the narrative, but I didn't show them in here unless we want to increase revenue by that amount as well. It's not fair to
meet,
it's not, you know, additional expense.
I don't know. What's the normal way of doing that, Jack? So that once we've approved, from a budget approval, I don't know that it makes a difference, but once we've approved a budget, and then in order to tie back as we move through the year.
Yeah. I would rebudget one way or another. It could be formally put in here, or it could just be a direction of the board when the budget's adopted to
carry that over. Yeah.
But it literally, one way or another, would be in addition to next year's budget, whether it's part of the budget itself or whether it's added.
But it would then be reflected at both an increase in revenues.
Yes.
As well,
we want to be careful to do that.
Approved budget.
Yes.
Okay.
We want to, because both sides would be there.
Yeah.
Right.
What I was trying to do here was try to get as pure as I could in terms of comparison of how we did with the service model versus the actual budget. So.
Right. I have a quick question. Because you don't see the prior year's budget, how does that compare in regards to where there are the increases and where are there decreases? You mentioned one particular janitorial increase, but I mean, that would be something to always look at the budget, looking at from the...
That's what I want to know from you tonight, is
what
do you want to see on Monday? I mean, do you want to see the service model estimate, or should that just go away and that's okay? And do you want to see 10-11 and 11-12? I talk about some of the key changes I do talk about in the narrative, which you haven't had a chance to read because I just handed it to you tonight. I just finished it this afternoon.
Yeah.
So the
first column where you were saying you couldn't do an estimate for the full year because of the service model,
The first column, I was also working off of Kira's document and I didn't get too much changed on it. The first column is the proposed budget for 11-12.
Okay.
And she expanded her field, so I couldn't. and I added in the service model estimate.
So that's the proposed budget. This
is the proposed budget. This is what this first column that's unlabeled is the one that the board would be approving.
Okay. I wouldn't leave in the service model. I think it's confusing.
I just put it there. It was mostly for myself working through it. And then I wanted to ask you, that's the point of having this meeting, is for you to give me direction on how you want. If you don't want to see that, that's fine.
And I'd like to see other years to compare to see
where
the spending has changed.
Okay, we can put in 10-11. That's fine.
I agree. I think we need to, definitely need to compare to prior year, because I think we've always done that in the past, to take a look at that. And I think that I agree also that by each line item, we don't need to compare to the service model estimates. Maybe, you know, there's at some point a summary that can be done, a summary matrix that might, on a, you know, more total, you know, total revenues, total expenditures kind of thing,
show the comparison to the service model, just because people could be interested in that.
But you should at least show the reasons for the difference between $254,000 surplus and a $33,000 surplus.
Right.
Because I'm certainly not impressioned about that.
And I did, actually, I did talk about it in the narrative. I do talk about the discrepancy. So I can put, I could actually do that on the, on this summary here. I can do the service model.
Yeah, I think it would be good on that summary basis to show the service model, knowing that it was estimated, and you know, until you do the budget, you don't really know what the details are. But I do think the questions would come up.
And when you present the budget, do you normally, like I was looking on the wall, where you have the 2008, 2009 expenses and revenue, where you have the pie charts or some sort of graphical format where you just show the difference? I don't know, I'm just, traditionally, have you done this in the past?
No, I've only had it one other year, so, I mean, there's no tradition.
Oh, okay.
I mean, prior to that, they didn't show that.
I think sometimes people, when they're looking at a budget, they gloss over the numbers, but when they start to look over, you know, the percentages allocated to each area, it's just shorthand for kind of to see where you're going as a system as far as our expenditures or income and revenue.
I guess another question I have for you is under, say, information technology, we have that listed out. Do you want, does the full board need to see that detail, or do you just want me to use the larger categories, information technology, library materials, and, you know?
I think this level of detail is
okay.
Good.
I mean, in the past, we've given you the full sheets, and I think that's too much.
I think this is a good level of detail, for me, anyway.
No, I agree. I would ask a question about the sales taxes. Our percentage is 77%?
77.29, I think. I always forget that number.
But, you know, based on the census, you were anticipating that's going to, our share may actually go down.
Yes.
Do you have any idea? First, when is that going to hit? And what's it going to go down to?
It depends on the what it goes down to is totally dependent on the census. And when we're going to know, I believe the census data is supposed to be out.
It's pretty much out. Right.
But
so then
we're dependent on the county.
So that may take effect in July.
It might take effect in July.
They look at that every year.
They look at it every year.
They don't have a new census, but they do use the state finance population updates, right?
Which comes out every May, yeah.
And I know that they, it's not like it hasn't changed over the past 10 years. It continues to change.
A little bit.
Our share continues to go down slightly, and we may see a bigger change.
Yeah, the census could create a bigger change. So I can ask the county when we'll know.
So is the county, Sam, I follow up on that question you just asked. Does the county, they're the ones that determine that, then it comes, all the money just flows through this body. We don't
have
finance authority.
Finance authority.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's where we're
the county staffs the financing.
Okay.
And I imagine there we'll have to look at the population from the census.
So it'll be an agenda item that we discuss?
But not until June.
The financing authority will bring it in June to the financing authority meeting, which... Prior to the June board meeting, there will be a financing authority meeting at 6. So,
isn't that where that mistake happened? That we're still paying back. It was in the percentage.
What is it?
So look at it carefully at the financing authority.
June 6th.
I'll ask Carol. An important piece to look at here, because that could be.
Yeah.
A small increment. It could be a big shock. Okay.
I mean, if we could,
in the meantime, it's...
You know, and even looking at this schedule of the sales taxes, and for this year, that's $6.8 million. Even if it just goes down to 2% to 75%, that takes this number from 5.5 to 5.1.
I don't think it'll go back down that much.
You don't? Okay.
No, I mean, it's... But
I guess the point is a small percentage
could have a big effect.
Big dollars, yeah.
I will email Carol Kelly and see if I can find out when we'll know. Yeah, I mean,
is there any way we can just, you know, press them to get it for the budget since it's a big, big issue for us?
We can try.
If they have the data.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe being on, I think David and I are both on the financing authority, so maybe we'll press them too about what those proportions shall look like.
The state comes out with preliminary information, but usually I think it's around May 2nd that the State Department of Finance sends out those numbers, the population change for every city,
so next week.
County.
Yeah, so
it's coming right out. I'm not sure exactly how that overlays into the.
They do the whole formula thing. Yeah.
Adding into, taking out. It'd be nice to know before we go into the June budget. Because it will approve. A lot of things would be nice. Well, you know, we can always have another budget meeting if it was significantly less than.
No, I'm trying to take a week off in June. I need a vacation. I can't imagine why, but I do.
Teresa, on the budget, on the line building, operate and maintenance of the very last, which is building equipment and rental.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was, the Scotts Valley rents are kind of going
away. That's out of there.
That's out of there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not a smaller.
287.
Oh, you know what? This is comparison to the service model.
Right.
Which probably already incorporated that.
Yes, and I can give you last year's, it's like. Last year's total was $393,396. What's included in there is $287,000 for headquarters rental. So it's really only that, Felton and the Selwyn, that would be left. There was $81,000 for Scotts Valley. There's $77,000 for rent and $4,000 for utilities and insurance. So, and in the narrative, I tried to hit the highlights. You can see it is still a draft. There's some blanks in here because I'm still waiting on people to get the information. And I know you haven't had time to read it, so if you... you don't have to have this Thursday morning for the packet, so if you have anything you want to, that's not clear, or you want some more detail on, or whatever.
What's our total amount of debt in terms of, like, we have our debt service? What? That's the total amount?
This is $104,000.
That's the
annual payments toward it.
Well, annual payments, yes.
That would be something I'd like to see in there, just to, as at least some description.
Okay, I'll think about that.
I don't see it.
I didn't bring it with me.
No, it's not.
Okay.
We have the debt schedule. The board's had that before, but I can. I didn't bring that notebook today. Our debt really isn't that huge. I'll bring it. I'll attach the debt schedule.
Yeah. This was a debt, just to know what the total outstanding debt is. I'm talking in the kind of narrative.
Okay.
Just a
discussion. All right.
Just
all right.
Has it gone up? Has it gone down?
It's gone down.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Because we don't have any new debt.
There's no new debt. Okay. I'll include the amount of debt.
Yeah, there are a handful of debt, so we...
Yeah.
We described it to the board before. So.
Yeah, I've got that. There was a debt. I just have a debt service back on here. And, that's pretty exciting. We pretty much achieved our work plan for last year. So.
Yeah.
think that was good, given everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Kept this year a little more modest. More modest.
Yeah.
Restructure the library system, but modest.
Since we're talking budget, this is just a kind of interesting side note. Regarding library materials, I attended, there was a presentation, the poet that spoke here in town recently.
Maya Angelou.
Oh. She spoke and she called out libraries, supporting libraries. I don't know if maybe she was in the newspaper article, but she said that she felt that we needed to, you know, do more to fund library services, and also particularly called out African American poets in terms of having it as reserved. Mm-hmm. And I thought about how to do something about that, because I don't know what I was going to ask some of the staff, but it'd be interesting when people talk about library materials from a budget standpoint, as far as, you know, what are the breakdown in terms of the ideas that we buy, or, and also part of the budget, making sure that people understand, other ways that they can support the library. Because even though it's kind of dry when we go over the budget in the board meeting, but I think there'll be people there from the Sentinel and talking about, other ways that people can support the libraries in some way. So I guess the point I bring it up is people are very interested in the numbers, but more so in the services that kind of come from it, and how that can come out in the presentation in ways that you can connect the two. That would be great.
What you're talking about is an annual report, which I never got to this year.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing we do like to highlight. And so I kind of semi-turned this into an annual report a little bit, but mm-hmm. but you're right, and that is the kind of thing that we fully intended to highlight in an annual report. And things got in the way. So I'm not sure we want to... The last 2 years, we've just kind of been, hanging by our nails on materials. I'm not sure it's something we want to particularly highlight. But
you can call it the first meeting I was at, there was a gentleman that had, a barber college that he sold, and he donated about $90,000 as a grant. Some of that money went to buy certain things or something where you call out the results.
Actually, I need to mention that. We haven't bought anything yet. That's for the Central Library for the facility.
Okay.
I need to mention that.
$89,000.
That actually would be a good place to talk about. Somebody left us
$89,000. Yeah. On revenues, at the top here, it says other
$251,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could try to maybe explain what that other consists of.
Library fines,
or fines, yes. $225,000 is library fines. Charges for services, photocopying and room rentals, fines. Internet, using the internet.
So maybe you could just in parens go it's fines and services.
It looks like it's mostly fines.
Fines and fees.
Yeah.
I'll put fines and
fines
fees.
Fines and fees.
Well, I guess I want to just a question of approach. Some of these numbers have been updated from the service model based on new information in terms of expenses. That's the benefits line. But we're not touching the revenues based on new information.
That is the revenues is the new information. It is the new sales tax and property tax. You notice it's same as the proposed budget.
Well, it's the exact same as the service model. It's
right.
Maintenance as the service model, and grants and donation is up a little bit. I'm comparing this to the miscellaneous.
The grants and donations, the reason for that, if you put the two together, that and the other, in the service model, I didn't, there were things that I put in other that are actually we're putting in grants and donations. The two together come out very close. They don't. The other. Oh, I didn't. I was missing. I was missing the. In the service model, I was missing two. I have it here. Richardson Trust and something else that I was missing. So I did not update the service.
That's about 40, yeah.
So I didn't, yeah, it was, when I did the service model, it was missing. The revenues on the service model, I did, at the very, I think it was the 28,000 we just heard about, but other than that, I had been updating it as we went along. When you guys were doing your subcommittee work, I did update that. So, in the final.
Well, I just don't, I mean, we have the difference between the service model and the actual budget. Is the balance is a reduction of $220,000. It looks like 130 of it is additional expenses.
$153,000 of it is almost $154,000 of it is the benefits. And I think janitorial is about $30,000. Personnel is a big one.
Yeah, even the personnel is actually down from the service model.
No.
It's up.
Need the other direction.
Service model says 4.744, and the actual says 4.66.
That's just salaries.
Right. But other than the benefits portion.
The temporary wages are low.
Oh, that's been increased too.
Temp's been increased.
By about 60,000.
The miscellaneous costs went down, offsetting that.
It's the benefits.
And that 125 is the anticipated savings. We don't know.
Well, I just think, I mean, and we can get to this later, but the $33,000 gain is a really thin margin. So.
It is a thin margin, but the margin of the service model, a lot of that margin was built into it because of the unknowns with benefits. So this takes into account the benefits. So the benefits is eating up a lot of the margin. But we expected it to. That's why we needed the margin.
So we're incorporating new information into the expense side, and I'm just not sure if we're doing that significantly on the revenue side.
There's no revenues. We lost 70,000 state that we're not getting.
That was built into the service model estimate, right?
At one point it was, I think I did take it out at some point, so I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It wasn't, in the end, it was not included.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at this, the miscellaneous revenues, which includes all the donations, other miscellaneous. This is aside from donations and fines. A total for this year, adjusted estimate of 101.
But it's balanced by expenditures. Any of those revenues that you're talking about have a balancing expenditure on the other side. They may be grants that we received, there are donations to buy materials. So even though the revenue may be up, the expense is also up.
No, but he's just looking at how you've accounted for it in the revenue column.
In the revenue column, we only put in 25,000 for donations. And in expenditures, it's built into, it's also built into books and materials donations, expenditures. So it's built in there. Now, they may end up at 50 or may end up at 100, but it's also going to end up at 50 or 100 on the other side. So it's a wash. So it doesn't really affect bottom line revenues or expenditures because they balance each other out.
Right. You're saying there's expenses there associated with these donations that aren't in these expenditures?
That there's 25,000. The only one that's in there is 25,000 that for donations to the Friends. That if you go down under library materials, grants and donations, books and periodicals, $25,000. That $25,000 is built into the grants and donations. the other part of grants and donations.
But my point is that what we've actually raised is $59,899. Okay, and that's
But if you look at this year's expenditures, that $59,000 will also have been expended. So we can put $59,000 in as revenue, but we're going to have to put $59,000 down as expenditures because it's not extra money for us. It's money that gets spent.
It's labeled as miscellaneous non-operating revenue. So you're saying that we're going to buy more materials if we include that revenue?
Right. There is no additional revenue to help the bottom line of the budget.
Well, I mean, I guess the issue, too, is... And that is that a written policy that we have that when we get donations from friends for materials, it always goes on top of whatever we budgeted for? It doesn't go to help us?
Those additional money that comes in during the year, yes, goes on top.
If we don't do that, then we're
breaking trust with the friends. The friends used to spend that money directly, and it was a nightmare for us. So we weren't getting a discount on it. It was, you know, they were ordering directly from a vendor for us, and it was, you know, we filled out the slips, gave it to them, and they sent them in. It didn't make sense. So we would be breaking the fiduciary trust with the friends if we couldn't do that.
I got that.
Now, the other money that the friends, that we get through friends trust, like the Richardson or the Fleming, and actually Fleming, that's a big one. This year, Fleming, we spent $100,000 of Fleming money. Next year, we're only going to spend $25,000 of it. So that's another place where, you know, miscellaneous other, you know, comes in. So the Richardson, the Fleming, those things, they are part of the materials budget. They are not on top.
Okay. But the friends
money they get throughout the year, somebody sends in and says, I'm donating $25 to the friends for the library to buy materials. We have an obligation to buy materials with it. It's not part of our regular materials budget.
And say the money that the friends is raising,
that's
for technology.
That's not even on here.
Okay.
It's friends' money that they'll pay the bills directly for that. The money that they spend on programs, they'll spend it directly. We don't even go into our budget.
But the technology, which they would assume give us the money to spend,
not necessarily. We might actually invoice them directly from wherever we buy it from. It'll depend on what it is. So it may end up as revenue, but it'll also have a corresponding expenditure. And yes, it would come through that donations line, but it would have a corresponding expenditure for it. So there really are no additional revenues to be had. I mean, we can play games all we want with how we want to present the numbers, but.
Well, I get just after having this conversation, not that it's just a matter of how it's reported, and I think it's clear, like if the friends donated money for materials and it's on top of what it is, I mean, I would think I'd want to see the expenses, you know, friends purchase.
It is.
It's down here. It's in here.
Where?
Under materials, under library materials, it says grants and donations, books and periodicals. It's part of that. That's it.
Okay, so that's all from friends.
But only to the tune of $25,000.
Right, and there is built into grants and donations, of that $88,000, $25,000 of it, it's built on $25,000 of it coming from the friends. I mean, I can separate it, but you know, I was trying to collapse things.
I mean, to year to date, the friends donated $78,642.
And we spent.
Whether it's restricted or not, I think it should be reflected in the budget. But
we don't know how much we're going to get. We don't know if we're going to get 78,000.
Well, you never know, you know, really how much you're going to get. So
if we put it in as revenue, we got to put it in as expenditure.
That's fine. It still will show. Let me make sure I understand. So what you're saying is up under grants and donations, we currently have 25,000 in there for the friends donations. If we wanted to say it's more realistic to think we're going to get 50,000, we could build that in there. And then the line item down under library materials, under grants and donations, would also reflect that 50,000. And the bottom line, it wouldn't impact the bottom line at all, but it would show.
Yeah, that line. That would not impact the bottom line.
Is that what you're saying? Did I understand that correctly?
I guess I like to see a more realistic assessment based on past history of what the budget budget line items are going to be.
We only have, we've only been doing it this way for a year.
Well, let's just say this is just an anomaly, or it won't reoccur. So this is some special thing that will never happen again. There's another line called just general donations, library.
Those are people that donate to the library for a specific purpose.
Okay, that's restricted money too?
Yes.
That was $58,000.
And some of that is like the friends paid for the consultant, so it was $10,000. So it went into that line, then it got expended. It didn't go into the book line, it went into just the general, it was a place to put the friends' money when they donated it, when they paid for something for us. So, yeah. We can do it any way you want, but it's not going to increase the bottom line. And what it's going to be is guess, you know. I mean, if we and it doesn't really matter.
I guess, I don't know if this is where you're going, Sam, but I just think just for clarity, it's like in the reporting, you show where all the revenue's coming from. So if people are making donations and they're restricted for certain things, those are outlined in terms of the revenue that comes in, and then it's matched up with the expense. So, yeah, it wouldn't affect the bottom line, but it's just clear. It shows when people made donations to their friends, it shows that those monies went out to purchase what they were intended for.
Well, the year-end report would show that. I mean, this is what we're expecting is going to happen next year. I can put in any dollar amount we want. But as long as we have a corresponding expenditure, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I think you put it in. I mean, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you want it, then seek it. And if you don't want it, ignore it. I mean, to me, this is our budget document for the year, and I think that we should be paying homage to it, showing what they've done, recognize it in here, and encouraging them to do it again. So that's just my point of view about the budget document. So,
I can have it match this year's.
I was thinking this in regards to, we talked about here, it's just a line item, but for the office furniture and equipment. I was talking with Barbara about this at one time. There's not a lot of resources for teens or, you know, when you go in there. How does that reflect it so that you direct the friends to organize or to help make an improvement in a particular part of the library? I mean, I guess in terms of developing budgets for programs or services, this is the guiding document that does it. But, I mean, what is it?
Dealing with the friends is a totally separate issue, and
okay.
They get... I think it will test if we're trying to drive their budget. Now, they're giving us $75,000 next year, presumably for technology, but it can be for things like self-check stations.
Yeah.
We've got the money that we got as the donation for the $89,000 for this building that I hope to be able to use on doing some refurbishing.
Oh.
I would love to have some money to create teen areas,
yeah.
Better teen areas and teen spaces, and I'm working with the friends on how to do that. And that's part of my relationship with the friends that we need to build. I will go ahead and match this year's grants and donations.
I think it's a good idea because, to Sam's point, it really does. Well, first of all, it shows people, there was a lot of money that came through the friends that was spent for materials. But that's the direct correlation.
What about that? It's not spent on materials, where they gave us money for consultants.
I mean, personally, I don't know. I like more detail, but I mean, I'll leave it for the board to decide. I think it's good to match up to show where the revenue went and how it was used, just from the standpoint of someone that's consuming the document to understand how the library operates and where we spend our money.
From an actual standpoint, that's straightforward to do. But
yeah.
I'm just wondering
right.
from
that's
an ask going
right.
forward. That
yeah.
I think it's safe to say from a. You know, what the friends have raised fund materials, we should probably be reflecting what they did last year, because I don't think there was anything unusual last year that they did that wouldn't happen again. But I don't know about the other things that they gave us money for.
And we are reflecting $75,000 for technology.
No, that's the library's money.
Okay.
That's not the Friends.
That's not the Friends.
It just happened to be the same number. Okay.
Or maybe we need to have the Friends provide, you know, I mean, we probably should have the Friends come in and talk to us when they're doing their budget. They won't, they don't, it's not something they don't want to do.
That's just, I'm working with the Friends on the budget procedures.
Make me go on that Friends board.
Jeez, go on that Friends board. Anything else? Do you have any comments on the narrative, things you'd like to see, questions you have on it?
So just one thing that I'm thinking of, and maybe it's in here and I'm just not remembering, I took a quick glance through. From this standpoint, this is the draft budget that we'll be looking at in our next board meeting. And so if you can make sure that you've called out areas or items where you would expect to have updated information or more details to refine, to make this more accurate, if there are any significant areas like that.
I think I did. I mentioned okay. ones. I think the okay. workers' comp is the big one I know about. Otherwise, it's...
Okay.
It's
yeah, as long as that's sort of obvious, so we sort of know, okay, there's still something out there that we're...
Yeah, I mean, personnel is the area where there's still a lot out there because it's gonna keep changing.
And we just got an actuarial report that told us we should reduce our workers' comp rates from what's in there, so that's what's going to bring the workers' comp rates back within.
But on expenditures, I don't see that changing significantly. I mean, janitorial, which is clarifying.
And I guess the question is, you know, we have that $125,000 built in as personnel savings. Is that just, you know, if questions come up around that?
Yeah, that.
I don't really know how to explain it.
We didn't say personnel savings, but there was a term that we discussed using to have that as a placeholder. And I don't know. Personnel savings. Or
salary savings.
Yeah, or salary system.
How's
it reflected in the city's budget?
City's budget, we have $500,000 proposed again as salary savings. We expect that we'll have a certain amount of vacancies during the year. We don't know exactly which positions or where.
But how was it in the budget? Was it listed just as salary savings?
Yes.
Okay.
But we're not going to have that because we're not, I mean, with the reduction, with laying off, you're not going to have open positions.
But this is also based on no furlough, and we do know that there's going to be some concessions in order to do that. So,
I mean, I guess we'll just explain it as a guess. It's an estimate what we need to figure out.
And savings has to happen somewhere in order to make this work.
Right. So we put it there.
Because if not, we're going to have to take a cut.
Because it's the biggest expense.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is the oddest budget I've ever had to put together.
I mean, I think the other thing, I need to get going here, but the other thing to point out is we're estimating to go out of this fiscal year with about a $300,000.
Yeah, that's conservative, my guess is.
Which, you know, we have a little
that's
more.
That's 2 years in a row that we've come out with a surplus.
Right.
So
we do have a little more cash.
I just want to throw this out as one idea for this budget. We have a lot of, you know, work plans that are tied to costs, like the status of progress of the work plans. And, you know, I know from just those reports that came out, there was a discussion about how the percentage of people that actually use the library as a percentage of those, you know, that are here in the county. I was wondering if you've ever thought about having a goal of, like, increasing the number of library cards. Like, you look on a year-to-year basis, how many people, new library patrons you can include as something. Because sometimes when you talk about, you know, implementing self-check system or other, it's operationally, it sounds great. But also, what are some of the like, having a goal out there that says, hey, we're going to have X number of new library patrons or kids using that
That's in the strategic plan.
Oh, it is.
It's a goal
good.
In the strategic
okay,
plan.
Good.
And we need to look at the whole strategic plan.
Yeah.
So everything
okay.
that's in there. But that's all in the strategic
okay.
plan. The action steps.
Okay.
Which we haven't even had a chance to look at and review. But it needs to be, in light of all the other changes we're making, we need to take a look at that realistically and figure out what we can do from it. That's why I put that in as one of the work priorities for next year, is to review that and try to get it in line with or aligned with the new service model. So, okay.
And we're going to have Lisa come
Lisa's
in
gonna come
closed session of the
closed
board.
Session.
I
talk about the tithing.
I may be in Boston on that day. That weekend.
This Monday?
No, the June.
The June meeting.
The June meeting.
Oh, no, this is.
I thought you were talking.
No, no, this is this Monday.
Yeah, the June 6th. I'm going to be.
You might consider seeing Hillary.
As a backup.
Yeah, you probably should. It's a budget approval.
I don't think you have one, so you may want to designate. I'm going to talk to Ryan about designating.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
I think it would be good to have both. Two reps from the city of
Hillary
or Lynn or...
Yeah, we don't have an alternate.
Do we have an alternate Capitola?
Jim sends Randy, but I don't know if that's an official...
And I know they've got alternates at the county. They just
yes,
signed
they did. They just assigned an alternate at the county.
Thank you.
What are you going to Boston?
I've got to actually...